Welcome back into Sports Call here on Tiger 93.9 FM, streaming online, sportscallauburn.com. J.J. Jackson and Ryan LaVoy spending some time with Chris Doering of the SEC Network. Chris, we appreciate it. How's it going?
Hey, doing well. It's good to be back with you guys.
Absolutely. Glad the SEC Media Days is here. How do you feel? Feel like football season's getting closer, or does this just get you too excited, and then we look at the calendar and realize, wait, we got to wait a little bit?
It is funny, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of the unofficial kickoff to college football season, but at the same time, this thing has been pushed up considerably. From when I was in school, it seemed like it was much closer to where the kickoff of the season was. So I think it's a nice little treat to kind of get the juices flowing a little bit. But again, sets us up for failure for having to wait for a long time till it actually kicks off.
So we'll get to a lot of the SEC in just a little bit. Let's start with Auburn first, of course. And when you look at Auburn in 2019, what's the biggest concern for you for the Tigers?
Biggest concern for me is, can they develop a little bit more of the run game than what they had last year? I'm big on Bobby Whitlow. I think he's got a chance to be one of the top five or six backs in this conference, but it all comes down to the offensive line. And I thought it was interesting last year with Auburn losing four or five starters. We just assumed that they were going to be able to plug guys in and not miss a beat, and that just wasn't the case. You know, a lot of that was giving credit to Gus Malzahn and his ability to create 1,000-yard rushers, but it just didn't kind of materialize last year. So the thing that I'm most excited about, I think, is the fact that Coach Malzahn gets a chance to get the play-calling duties back. I played for a guy in Steve Spurrier that was not only the head coach but was the play caller, and I couldn't imagine him giving up those duties to anybody else. And we had Coach Malzahn on my radio show in the off season, and you could really hear some excitement in his voice when it talked about being able to call plays again. And I hate the idea of having my fate rest in the hands of somebody else. And I think that whether Gus Malzahn ends up coaching for 10 more years there or he's out after this year, at least it's going to come down to him and the decisions he makes in calling those offensive plays.
You look at wide receiver for Auburn, and Seth Williams kind of stood out last year as a freshman. What do you think his potential is for Auburn? How high can he rise in the SEC ranks amongst wide receivers?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to come in as a freshman and do the things he did last year, it's pretty impressive. He's a physical matchup problem for defenders. But I look at that entire receiving core. I'm excited about what they can be. I mean, it was kind of fun to watch Anthony Schwartz as the X factor and utilizing that speed. You know, I get a couple guys back that were considerable players in 2017 that missed 18 due to injury. So I think they got a chance to be really, really good as a receiving core. And I'm interested to see how they utilize them a little bit more, because it seemed like at times over the last couple seasons, I don't know if it was a result of trying to dumb down the offense some for Jarrett Stidham or what, but the pass route combinations were a little bit more basic than some of the other teams in the conference. So I'm interested to see if they can become a little bit more dynamic with what they're doing there from a schematic standpoint.
We're talking with Chris Doering of SEC Network and the former Florida Gators wide receiver. On the schedule for Auburn in 2019, Chris, is a trip to Gainesville. So for our listeners who aren't too familiar with Gainesville, what are they getting in that trip on
First
Saturday?
First of all, it's sad that Auburn fans aren't familiar with Gainesville, because when I was a kid growing up in Gainesville, when I was a player at Florida, that was a big rivalry. Auburn and Florida, the orange and blue teams playing against each other really meant something. And so I kind of regret the fact that game doesn't happen more frequently. But I tell you what you can expect is some hot, humid weather and, you know, a crowd that's going to be ready to go. I think Dan Mullen did a nice job of reinvigorating the Florida fan base, and you know, he challenged them. He said, hey, it doesn't happen where we win first and then you guys show up. We need you to show up and help us create that home field advantage that the Swamp's been known for. And I think that's one of the big factors last year. You look at that LSU game, that place was going nuts. It was a real home field advantage like the Swamp used to provide when I was there in the 90s.
And you speak of, obviously, Auburn and LSU, or Auburn and Florida kind of losing that rivalry a little bit, but Florida seems to have gained a pretty significant rival in LSU. What has fed into just the heightened tension between the two? Because when we see the cross-division matchups scheduled, okay, Florida-LSU makes sense from the standpoint of they've both been really good for the last 20, 25 years, but there wasn't like a natural history with the two, but it seems like it's really just ramped up the last
When time. I was at Florida, LSU kind of was a non-factor on our schedule. We went to Death Valley as a sophomore, 93. I think we put 52 on them, 52-7, something like that. Beat them easily in all of my years there. But you know, you look at the Tebow years, there were, you know, Jacob Hester and I do a show together quite frequently on SiriusXM, and he likes to remind me that he beat Florida 3 or 4 times when he was in Baton Rouge. So there was some lead up, but I think it really amped up with the Hurricane game, the controversy between the two athletic directors and the fact that Florida went there in that rescheduled Hurricane game a couple years ago and actually clinched the SEC East in Baton Rouge. And so there's been some more heightened tension between the two. Florida and LSU playing in the College World Series a couple of years ago probably didn't help, and have become big rivals on the basketball court as well. So there's some disdain across the entire fan base, regardless of sport, that's been created between LSU and Florida.
We talked about Auburn's receivers already. Let's go to the SEC as a whole. Whose receiving core do you like the most?
Alabama. I mean, I think it's easy. You know, Alabama, it's an embarrassment of riches when you talk about what they have at the receiving position. And Jerry Judy's the name that jumps off the board. But Ruggs and Smith. And how about Waddle last year as a true freshman doing what he did, not only in the passing game but the return game? They are the gold standard in this conference. But I believe my alma mater has a chance to be second when it comes to receivers. And I know Auburn would probably argue with that. But you look at Trayvon Grimes. He's an NFL-ready kind of body. He needs to live up to the hype. Jefferson was a transfer from Ole Miss that's been productive in this conference. But look for Kadarius Toney to kind of have a breakout year. He was the X factor. He was kind of almost the Anthony Schwartz of Florida's wide receiving core, where they find ways to get the ball in his hand. He's developed into more of a wide receiver threat throughout the spring, and I think he can be a guy that can make plays down the field a little bit more than just in the backfield as he has the last couple seasons.
Chris Doering of the SEC Network joining us here on Sports Call. Talked a lot about Auburn, talked some Florida, Alabama as well. Is Georgia the other team to beat in the East? Has Florida shortened that gap, however?
It is interesting because I think 2 years ago, if you'd asked Florida fans, they felt like Georgia was running away with the East. You know, yeah. Kirby Smart had them in the national championship game in year number 2. They were stacking top recruiting classes on top of top recruiting classes, and Florida was mired in a 4-7 season. Dan Mullen comes in and really changes the fortunes overnight at Florida, not only with production on the field, but on the recruiting trail as well. So I think there is hope, and I'm not a guy that believes in moral victories, but you look at the cocktail party last year. Florida was within one possession in the fourth quarter against Georgia after missing on a hook off a flea flicker, fumbling on their own 1 yard line. A lot of self-inflicted wounds that if they don't make those mistakes, they got a chance to win the game. But they felt like they went toe to toe with Georgia, and I think that that mental little edge that came from that loss has them believing that they can compete with Georgia and they can win the East this year.
Football can't get here soon enough, right?
Time to go, man. You're getting me all excited about the season, and we got to wait, a whole another 5 weeks before we kick things off?
Chris, we appreciate the time today.
Yeah, great to be with you guys again. Thank you.
That's Chris Doering on Sports Call.